Well, it's our pleasure this morning to introduce to you Pastor Sean Carper. He's from Heritage Fellowship, the children's pastor there, and he's come to fill in this morning for Pastor Shane. We appreciate him coming. Give him a big Madison welcome, will you? Amen.
Great to have you. Bless you. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? All right, I was really tempted how I would start this. I'm going to forgo some of the stories that people would love to hear. Some of y'all may not know, I was Pastor Shane's roommate as we were going through Bible training. Yeah. So I'm going to forgo some of the stories, like when he got pulled over in checkered pants and a pink polo shirt, alligator shirt, and didn't have his license, and they hauled him to jail. I won't tell you those stories. I bunked right above him. I don't know who had the worst gig there, because at that age, we weren't always known for the cleanliness in our lives, clothes-wise, especially our feet. If you don't mind, I'm going to create just a little bit of organized chaos for just a second. And I'm going to share a little bit about myself. But before I do that, and you're going to understand this when I get done, is I'm going to ask you, first off, there was an old show a long time ago. It wasn't that great of a show. It didn't last that long. And this attorney guy would stand up, and he just thought all he had to do was say his name and explain everything. He'd say, Danny Crane. And so whenever I come in a room and I want to apologize for what I'm about to do, I just announce my pastor's name. Clady Keith. That just explains it all, so you'll forgive me as soon as you know that. But I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask everybody that is under the age of 22 years old to stand to your feet. All right. Now, if you're under 22, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, if you stay standing, if you are over 40 years old, now, it's okay to admit that because I'm over 25 times two. So if you are over 40 years old and you are capable, I want you to go get one of these people and have them come sit with you. Go get one of them and have them sit with you. Some of you are like, ha-ha, I got out of it. I'm already with people. Go get them. Go get them, even if you don't know them. In fact, it's better if you don't. Go get them. Now, if there's still some people left, I want some of you that feel like you don't count because you feel you're way too old, just to wave at them over there and tell them to come sit with you. All right, we got a couple more. I know we got some that may have to, or if you see one that can't move, maybe you just go sit with them. Now, a lot of you may be saying, Pastor Sean, what are you up to? And quite frankly, I got to be honest with you, I've never done that before, so I really don't know yet. So we're just going to take it from here. First off, let me just say this. This is Pentecost weekend, too. This is Pentecost Sunday. In the day of Pentecost, in that upper room, were sons and daughters, were young men, and older people in one room. That formula created Pentecost, when expectation and anticipation for what was coming next entered the room. And when they became one accord, that same one accord is the same one it refers to in marriage, where three become one. All right? The same cord when it refers to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, I love it, and we just came back from Mexico doing, and I'll tell you what we're on a mission of doing. But I love it when I hear them announce, so they have a hard time interpreting at first the word the Holy Spirit. And they always try to interpret it wrong, and then the guy that was with me caught it, and his name is Steve Ward. He's been in missions so much. And he came over and told me, it's very important you get this word right. And the interpretation, as they said, is come be filled with the Spirit of Santos. You know, and I started to think about that. I'm like, yeah. See, it's family is what this is about. And if we can get that order in place, that we're family. I am on a goal in my life. I'll give you a little history of me so you understand who you'll never quite understand who I am. My wife, 25 years of marriage, where she's still just like, I just give up. So she loves me. And by the way, I'd like to introduce you to a couple people. First off, Miguel, where do you go? Did somebody grab him? Yeah, there he is. Miguel, stand up. This is Pastor Renee and Barbara Roach's son. They do our Spanish church. And my son here, Joshua Carper. And I have, of course, a daughter that leads worship down in Georgetown with her church. How'd I do there? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Sorry, Jeremy. Yeah. But anyway, Jeremy. When every time I closed my eyes, I just felt, not heard, but I felt the same spirit that arose in a worship leader once called, his name was Keith Green. And there was this radicalness. Oh, the church did not like him. And he was in what I heard recently, never heard this before, he was a musicianary. And when a worship leader takes on worship like a missionary takes on his mission, wow. And there's a radicalness and a hunger. Jesus, just bless. Father, right now, I ask God on this worship team, you take every pretty sound out of this building. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's the interpretation of that prayer. I tell every young person I walk into, we just went to Mexico, did an amazing Follow Your God-Given Passion Next Generation. My goal is to be the oldest youth pastor in the world. That's really what my goal is. Of course, Miguel and Joshua, the time I look at them, I just see it in their eyes. Joshua's like, Dad, you're almost there. So, but that's my ultimate goal. Since the moment I got saved, I want to do nothing but work with young people. And then I realized something about young people. It's hard to keep them if you don't reach their family. And then I all of a sudden had a hunger for their parents and their siblings. And then I started to realize something as my kids started to move out of the house. They cost me more after they move out. So I started to get a love for the grandparents and the parents. How many people know what I'm talking about? When your kids move out, they get much more expensive. And they're used to apologize and feel really bad. But I've noticed now with my oldest girl, what they do now, they don't even apologize. They just hold up one of my grandkids in front of me. And it's just, they know that's just like a get out of jail free card. I'm just, all right, what do you need? So, but. But here's the thing. Worship leaders, I said, may every pretty sound leave this place. I tell all the young people I come to, and we train up young people, and we have some of y'all may even have some of it downloaded on iTunes. We have young people that are writing worship songs. They don't sound like children's songs. They write songs. They're on iTunes. They have CDs. In fact, I have a team of young people from 9 years old to about 30 years old that are completely running my services for me right now. they have more speaking engagements than I get. I mean, and I'm excited about it. And what happens is when young people catch fire, and they can't do it without the next generation above them. Okay? Because if you ain't got no vision, there's no passion to inspire them to prophesy. And then the next generation after that, if you aren't still dreaming about something to do next, I'm telling you what, it's going to be hard for the younger generation to have a vision. And when they don't have a vision and sons and daughters aren't prophesying, all of a sudden Pentecost starts to fade away. And the purpose of the church ceases. And the problem with most of our churches today, and I've got some notes, and I'm even using one of these iPad things, and I'm trying to get used to it. I've been using it for about 3 years. I finally got someone to show me how to unlock it so I don't have to keep putting my password in every 30 seconds. So, and I'm even still trying to find a Bible cover for it, so when I tell the young people, you need to read this, you know, that it resembles a Bible, so and not their Twitter account. But listen, have you ever seen anyone just really hungry for God? Really worship? There's nothing pretty about it. I mean, next time you guys are really in the praise and worship, look around the room and look at the people really getting it. They're not. It's ugly. I tell our worship teams, if I ever hear you sing pretty, I'm going to walk on the stage and kick you in the shin. I tell people all the time, I am not here to step on your toe. I'm here to walk up, and if your toes are out, I'm going to reach behind you and take you out at the calf so I can get you down on your knees, get you to repent, and get up with some ugliness in your life and do something so transforming that the world around you says, whatever that is, I want it. See, that's what the disciples said to Jesus. When the disciples came to Jesus, they didn't come to him and say, Jesus, sweet Jesus, teach us to pray to the great heavenly gods of the heaven. What they said was, they're walking down the road, and you've probably heard this a dozen times. You guys are an amazing church. I came here and saw this place when it was just a shell. This is like this is what I think of when I see this place. I walk into this place. This is the Fish and Loaves Church. You walk outside, you see a little basket. You come in here, and it's just endless. I'm not talking about a building. Young people, you need to know something about this building. As cool, as pretty, and as fancy as this building is, they don't walk people in here and tell people about how exciting it's going to be when they get the pretty chairs. I hear nothing about from Pastor Shane and some of the staff here about they can't wait till they fill it with young people, when they fill it with people who are passionate for God, people who need their lives changed, and they need their hope restored. And when those people come in, that's what this place is. This is just a building. It's just a thing to help you. It is your ship to come and be rescued, and it is nothing more than that. And I want to challenge the people in this room that when the disciples walked with Jesus, it wasn't like all of a sudden they said, hey, let's go ask Jesus how to pray. They're walking with Jesus, and he's walking by, and a person in front of him just falls and starts foaming at the mouth, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. You know, and he says, shut up, get out, sin no more. And they'd be devil cast out of them and healed. Walking by another one, spit in some mud and slap it in their eye. Clady Keith, that's all I got to say. Right? I mean, that's something like Pastor Keith would do. I'm just be honest with you. He's actually done a few things like that to me as an example. And yeah, I'm telling you, we got some stories, me and Pastor Shane. But here's the thing. He raised a girl from the dead with his own words, sent a soldier back to see a person healed. They weren't just saying, hey, you know, why don't we check out what Jesus says about prayer? They said, yo, God, teach us, Jesus, teach us to pray like that. T- teach us to pray that blind eyes open, and teach us to pray like that. And here's the amazing thing about our gospel. I know there's some young people in this room, and I've heard that you've had some tough times in your life. I'm telling you what, your life is going to be full of ups and downs because it's life. And I know some of you have had some really hard things that have happened, and you just had some things, and I've been praying for you since Pastor Shane told me about some of the situations and that you guys have been going through. And some of you are here because somebody prayed with you. But I want you to know something right now, that there's much more for you. I don't want you to forget what you've experienced in the last couple of weeks. I want it to burn into your heart and your mind and realize that there is a hope and a peace that can restore you, and you don't have to. You don't have to sit back and realize someday that there's no hope. When they asked Jesus how to pray, here's the coolest thing. The great God of the thunders, the almighty King of kings, the Lord of lords, he who rides upon clouds of thunder. He left all that out. And he said two words. Our Dad. He hadn't even been to the cross yet. Now, let me explain to you what happens. In the old day, Hebrew or old Bible days, and I'm sorry, I'm not much of a Bible scholar. Oh, by the way, I will tell you this because I am very proud of this. Let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a very four-minute testimony so you understand where I come from. So you know I'm never going to speak to you just out of a book. I'm always going to share my life. When I was a young child, I went to a church. My family went to church. It was a blowing, going church, fastest growing church in America at the time. 53 buses going out every Sunday getting kids. We had more children and youth than we had adults. Let me tell you who came out of, so I'm not name dropping, I hate name dropping, but just so you understand the passion of this church. Our children's church pastor I grew up under was a guy named Bill Wilson. And my pastor was his first church before he went to Phoenix, of course, was Tommy Barnett. And my mom was the associate children's pastor, and my dad was the board member and the sound man. So he got saved twice a week. So, and you think you got it bad? I just got one word for you who have a hard time with the recordings and all that. Cassettes. I'm telling you, there's a whole nother world out there that you're glad you're not in anymore. So, yeah. We couldn't even record before cassettes because 8-tracks just didn't. You couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, here's my 4 minutes. I grew up in an amazing church like that, yet I heard all the scriptures. I had all the things. You can imagine a church like that. You have everything you could ever think of, all the tools before you. But nobody ever made the word flesh. The Bible says that Jesus came. The word became flesh. And dwelt among them. When you went and got those young people, that person who came and got you, their flesh. And they represent the word of God. And you're dwelling in the midst of it. But I didn't experience that. So things happen to people in life. I don't understand it. I get mad at God, and someday he's going to give me some answers because I work with children and youth, and I don't understand why a lot of us had to walk through the stuff we had to walk through. I don't know why it's hard, and some of you have horrible memories and tragedies in your life. I don't understand it, and I promise you, as a dad, I have an issue, and God's going to heal, and he's kind of let me have it for right now. And someday he's going to give me an answer, and I don't have a full answer for you. I don't know why you have to go through some of the stuff you have to go through. But you still have to win it, that race. You may have to walk harder. You may have to go a little steeper uphill, but you got to get to the same finish line. No excuses. All right? And so my life, I was a young kid. Used to tell people I was 8, 9 years old because I thought it sounded better until I got older and a dad, and I looked at my 12-year-old children, and I have many of them. Because in 1998, I quit pastoring. I resigned from pastoring. I was tired of seeing young people that I was doing funerals with, pizza from the last church gathering still rotting in their stomach. And I went, God, I can't do this no more. And I resigned from pastoring, and God took me to a school. Well, I resigned when he took me to Scripture. And forgive me if I don't have the right book. I believe it's Thessalonians. Actually, I think it's Ephesians. And I could pull it up, but I wasn't planning on going here. And it says this. Paul's talking. He says, we have many instructors, but not so many fathers. I wish you'd follow my example and be like me and be a father. And then God spoke in my ears clear as day. I remember the day I was sitting in an office in Pasadena, Texas, in my office there as a youth pastor, and said, and I heard it, Sean, I have many pastors, but very few fathers. Oh, how I wish you'd be a father. So I just started to love everyone as a dad. But I didn't have that, and when I was 12 years old, skipped school, something horrible happened, and you can only imagine what happened with a strange man in a park, and horrible things happened to me, and my dreams and my hopes were robbed. And I yelled for help, and nobody came. There was enough young people around that they heard me yell, but never came. Not enough for me to escape. What I thought was the worst was over until I showed up at my public school the next day and saw signs with my name on it, markers and graffiti describing the horrific acts that they assumed took place to me in that park. Not one teacher asked me if I was okay, if they were true. And I spent the next several years in a bitter anger, hating everybody. And I'd go to Sunday morning church, and I hated God. And I hated everybody. I blamed my parents. Nobody knew that happened to me. A little bit later, by the time I was 16, I was already living on my own. Before that, I had made a commitment. I was so angry with God that I said, God, and I would look out, and I'd see the mafia and the drug dealers, and I'd see all the cartel-type people, and I'd see all them out there, and I'd go, they got all the power and all the money, and we're singing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There was no power. It was a song. And so I fell away from God. And not just fell. I didn't fall away. I mean, I jetted away. I took a prayer, the sinner's prayer, and I reversed and asked Satan to come and take my life. And if he would make me feared, make me people follow me, and because nobody, everyone was making fun of me, so that he'd make me tough and feared, he could have it all. And but young people, let me tell you, whether you say that prayer that way, and I say, I would never pray that. Listen, if you walk out of this room without Jesus Christ in your heart, you did that. Because not to decide is a decision. Okay? The Bible says choose this day who you will serve. And when I say young people, the first day of creation referred to God as Ancient of Days. So if you're in here, you are young compared to God, your father. But when I was, so I did that. I ended up joining street gangs. By 16, I lived out on the street. For most of my young life, I lived that way. My dream was to become Al Capone without the mistakes and still have hair. Just to be honest. And I hated that way. I hurt a lot of people. My life became so messed up that in those days that if you got into a gang, in today's world, there's a thing called beat in, beat out. It's the only way into a gang is to get beat in. The only way out of a gang is to get beat out. In those days, it was called beat in, die out. You were beat into the gang, and the only way you ever left it, because it was a business and a family, is you died out. And I was enforcing that to people. I got to a place in my life that I was so unwelcomed by most people that most churches would never let me come into the building. Imagine all of Louisville, all is like Chicago. And there not be a church that you could sneak into that would let you come in, that they wouldn't know who you are. And they would tell you you had to get out. Now, don't get me wrong, I had my issues, you know, and I'll just confess one real quick. It was, you know, people loved to come down the streets and tell everybody on the streets how evil their drug dealer, their gun dealer, and their and the cartel and the president of their gangs are. And let me just tell you this. If you ever do any witnessing, and I know you're getting ready to do Hope Over Heroin. We're a big part of that. We love that. Listen, spend most of your time talking about how great your God is and not how evil sin is. I think they got that. Okay, or they wouldn't be there with you. They got that. It's a messed up thing. But spend the time telling them how great your God is. Everyone kept telling them how evil I was. And I'm like, you know, don't they care? Don't I get to go to heaven someday maybe? Nobody wants to reach me. And so I would have someone hold a knife to their throat, say, you come down here and witness anymore, you'll be killed. If they came back, I would burn their church. No, I mean, literally, set it on fire. And I'm not boasting in that, though I will have to say I've been to some of those churches that is the most on fire they've ever been. Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have said that, Jesus. So I lived a pretty messed up life, but there came a time in one of those very same churches, God restored me. I went to one of those altars. It wasn't a salvation altar. It wasn't a hellfire and brimstone message. It was a denominational church speaking on the doctrines and the bylaws of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. All right. Now, I have to say doctrine and bylaws, because in a church like this, you say baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you're like, ooh, hallelujah, that's a great one. You know, doctrine and bylaws, okay? We're talking that, and I'll say this from the superintendent of Great Britain of that denomination, said this once in a service. He said, the danger about many of our churches is if we've created a system that works whether God's in it or not. See, right? Three fast songs, two slow songs, a five-point sermon, come to the altar, say a prayer, and didn't we have church? See, you can come in here just as you are, and we can sing a dozen verses of come just as I am, and you can still leave here just as you were. But God has a purpose to change your life, and this is what I want to say to you. So you know kind of where I come from. God radically changed my life, as you can see. It got to a point, I spent two different times in a mental hospital for trying to kill myself. One stint, they kept me extra long to understand the mind of an angry, bitter young person, gang leader. And couldn't figure it out. Like I said, my wife couldn't do it either. God saved my life. I can't explain it. If you're struggling with sin in your life, you're struggling with drugs and addiction, let me tell you, I do not have a defining moment in my life. I don't remember. I remember when I went to the altar, but I remember once people found out who I was, it became a circus. They started calling people, and they rushed me out of the building. I remember I struggled many times, and many times I hit the altar again. I don't have the defining moment when I got saved and when I got away from drugs and girls and alcohol, but I do remember the defining moment that I touched my first young person and knocked on the door and brought him to church. And changed his life, and he's pastoring today. I do remember that like it was yesterday. See, when you make your defining moment, your transformation from sin, that's great testimony. But your true defining moment is when you transfer someone else from sin. Right? Right? So my life got changed. And I'm gonna get right into what I want to talk to you about and what I'm on a journey to do. But I wanted to share that with you because everything I do comes from the fact of I had an misunderstanding of what God was, that he was this big, angry God in the sky waiting on thunderous clouds to strike me down. All right? And when I finally got to the Lord's Prayer and I heard, and I got to confess to you, I was 10 years into the ministry before I got the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, did I save that? I'll be honest, I'll save that for the Catholics. I'm good. You know, I'll pray just my own. And then I saw, and it hit me, the great God of the heavens. When Jesus said, this is how you want to pray to be effective. And Jesus, before he died on the cross, he did not, get this in the Lord's Prayer. He did not consider you his subject. He considered you his brother and his sister. This is a problem where many churches get lost. Many churches get stuck on Jesus only. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father, to Dad, but through me. See, our goal is to go through Jesus, but Jesus wants you to understand there's so much more to this thing, and he kept saying it. There's one that comes after me. There's one that comes after me. I only do what my Father says. I only do what my Father does. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but a one-on-one with the Father. See, there's so much more to this thing that we call Jesus, that we call our relationship with God, that we get stuck and we forget. There's so much more that when God answers you, look through the Psalms and it says, David said, I cried out to God and they answered. It's like God is not interested in a fair fight. Let me tell you something, round two, God turned the Mayweather fight off. He wasn't interested in round three. He was like, get in there, and this, you know, the devil and a third of the angels, charge. That's it, done. God's not interested in a fair fight, and he's not interested in you thinking he's some evil, great, mighty God that doesn't care about what you're going through. He is your dad. He's a dad that owns the mighty heavens and legions that are greater than the stars and the sands of the sea are the angel warriors. And young people, you need to get this. These aren't little naked baby angels. I know that's just, you're like, where did that just come from? I am so sick and tired of artistic expressions of this little tiny baby with little tiny wings, or actually it's a really big, heavy, fat baby with little tiny wings, naked, flying around. That is not your angel. The Bible says that angels, cherubims, they are so large, they have six wings. They are so strong, it only takes two to fly. And your dad, God, is so big, so mighty, that those angels cover their face with two of their wings, cover their face, their feet, and go around going, holy, 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 God Almighty, that is your dad. And until we get that, we have this disconnect. We don't realize that who we are. Romans 8, all of creation is longing for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Appreciate that, brother, but I'm just a worm. I'm just a lonely sinner saved by grace. Listen, I never forget where I came from, but I'm not a yesterday creature, and neither are you. Let me throw this one out to you, waiting for Jesus to return. I'm not a tomorrow creature. He says, let it take care of itself. I'm a now guy. I'm a now son. And I have a now dad. So let me just say this with you, and I don't know what time. What time do I usually wrap up? About three. Now, come on now. So, all right, I'll go through a little bit more here. Because this is just the prelude, the introduction. Now, I will go ahead and do this because this is my favorite thing to do. So I'm going to start to close now. I love closing. I do it about five times in a service. I love it so much. So here's close number one. You see, you don't get this passionate about it until you really have realized I have a dad. See, I have a son. He doesn't come out of his room looking for me and go, you know, open a book, read it for 20 minutes on how to be a good son before he comes and asks me a question. I wish he would, but no. I'm going to write it. Give it to him. He's a great son. No. You know what he says to me? Dad. And it doesn't end there. It gets better. He gets more profound. Dad. And now we're moving into the real deep theology. Hey, Dad. Are you coming? I'm like, just a minute, Josh. I'll be there in a minute. Your mom wants me first. I could be in a meeting with the President of the United States. Doesn't matter to your son or your daughter. Your dad. Okay? He doesn't have to ask special permission to come visit me. He's my son. And when you get that, you ignite your father in heaven on fire. He lit me on fire once. I leaned over. He was, and I'm not going to embarrass him. Yes, I am a little bit. He was like 5, 6 years old, and he was laying in his bed, and I reached over to him, gave him a kiss late at night, and I always say a prayer over him. And I leaned over and gave him a kiss, and I said, Joshua, you're my boy. He went, mm-hmm. I went, no, you're my boy. You ever just love your kids? You just pop them like they're a zit or something. I'm sorry, probably shouldn't have said zit in church. But, I mean, you just love them so much you want to squeeze the craziness. You know, you just can't get the love out enough. And just when you think you can't give enough love to him, I start to walk out of the room, and I hear that. Dad. Hey, Dad. Yes, son. You're my boy, too. Now, if I, a father born into sin, know how to give good love and gifts to my children, and I react like that, how much more does your perfect father react for you? I used to think it was so uncool, but yeah, all right, father, I want to hear about the warrior stuff. I mean, who's the youth pastors? Yeah. My youth group was named like Young Warriors, and you know, and I had all the gothic script going on. And of course, back in the day, you had to copy and cut and paste and tape it together. Anybody do bulletins for church before? You remember those days? And I would, and it was all about warriors for Christ, and I still love that stuff. We do kids camps and youth camps. We have amazing things going on. But reality is, I come to a new thing. Man, I'm not here to grow a church. I'm here to grow the family. And because I know my son's voice, and I know when he calls out, and I know when he's just saying, hey, Dad, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. He's going to ask me something. I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. And I'm ignoring him until he gets really desperate, and he's risking being in trouble. I know. Okay, he's not going to let me go until I answer. I go find out what he wants. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some of the times he calls me, I'm like, seriously? You could? That's what you call me in here for? Now, there's other times when he's really in trouble. He only has to call me once because I recognize his voice. He's my son. We have the same DNA. And so I hear his voice, and I go, he's in trouble, and I'm coming. Now, when you call to your dad of the heavens, what real awesome, perfect dad wouldn't release the legions of his kingdom to come save his boy and girls? God's on a mission to do that again, and I'm just going to jump through this real fast. Closing number 2. I'm going to say this to you. I'm on a mission. God's put me on a mission, my family on a mission, our team on a mission. We've been raising young people for many years, and most of y'all, if you come to Heritage, you know me on the Friday night as the guy that does this, taking all the kids to the gym. All right. Most of my life, I've been a youth pastor. All right. I'm not very good at being a children's pastor, just to be honest with you. You want to see the lowest, because if you know anything about youth pastors, we like the shock and awe, right? I want to tell you some of the titles of my sermons that my wife said I would made millions just selling on the title alone, but I never got invited back into a church. I was almost tempted to tell you. I'm not going to. As a youth pastor, we just love those shocks and those exciting things and all that craziness. And I didn't even know where I was going, so I'm just going to move on. But reality is, guys, I know. As a children's pastor, the lowest attendance is when we're doing the Ten Commandments. And you can imagine which commandment that week I'm on that I don't have any kids because the parents know he's one of these old youth pastors and he's got some crazy illustrated sermon and we can't have our children in there when he's talking about adultery. But I'm not very good at it. But I realized something. If I just love everyone, I love my children. If I never let a day go by that they don't hear from me, I love them. I'm proud of them, and I believe in them. If I could make sure every young person hears that with a sincere heart, they feel it. Don't ever become, listen, let me just say this, as your church is really starting to explode, all right? And that is prophetic just as much as it is factual, all right? But let me just say this. The number one thing, the biggest devil that's killed more churches is department mentality. Youth pastors bidding for, and there's only so many funds, raising money, trying to do their, trying to compete, the children's pastor and their programs, trying to do their thing, the nursery trying to do their thing, the adults, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the elderly ministry, the singles ministry. Before it's over, you got all these departments, and you're fighting more with each other than you are with the world. And have you ever seen your house where all your siblings are just fighting, and you're like, all your kids, and you're ready just to say, you know what? Can I just be honest with what I tell my kids when I get to the point where I've just had, just shut up. Just learn not to say another word. Starting now. The whiz they'd listen to me. But just be quiet now. Enough. That's what the church looks like to our Father in heaven. And that's what departmental pastors and boards, you can sound like to your senior pastor, your father of this body. Just being honest. And I can tell you as a dad, and I can tell you some of these elders over this church as a dad, there's a many times they looked at you with a smile, but inside, shut up right now. Just stop talking now. But they love you. So here's the mission we're on. Samuel. And we're in first, and I'm going to say this real quick. First Samuel 16, starting with verse 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to paraphrase it, and they can put it up there if they want, but they don't have to. God speaks to Samuel. Samuel is a prophet that anointed the kings. He would anoint the king with oil that would become the king. He anointed Saul to be king. Now, first off, I'd like to know where the day's gone where the church and the prophets lost authority, not only in the world, but mostly in the church. And there was a house prophet, and this prophet signed all the kings. Now imagine the discouragement he was under as he just watched Saul lose his anointing, and Saul is God just told him that he's done. Samuel is the one who went to the king Saul and said, here's the issues. Okay, here's our problems with this, okay? And this is what happened. Samuel went, and standing there, and this is what God speaks to him and says, Samuel, what is in here whining for? Verse 1, pretty much starts just that way. Why are you whining? You know, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? I mean, if it's your job to pick the good kings, there comes a time where you're like, man, I really messed this one up. But see, sometimes you don't realize that everything comes in seasons, and what Samuel didn't realize is is quit looking at the thing and the person and realize that there's a greater plan here. And here's what God told Samuel to do. He said, Samuel, quit pouting. It's time to fill your horn with oil again, for I'm sending you out to gather the sons of Jesse. For in the midst of them is the anointed one. Now, so the prophet says, Lord, I'm going to end up getting killed. The king's not going to let me do this. Once he realizes what I'm about to do, you know, he fears me. But once you just told him he's done, he doesn't fear me no more. And he goes, okay, well, take a calf and a cow, and you're going to go do a sacrifice. I'll sneak you in, basically. You're going to go in under the radar. So he goes there, and here's the power of the church of that day. When Jesse, the father, came, when the leaders saw the prophet coming, they didn't walk up to the prophet and go, oh, give me a word. I mean, those are wonderful, and we have wonderful words, but there is no fear a lot at times in the church for God to be transparent with us. And so what happened here is these people walked up knowing the power of God speaking through his man and said, we just need to know, are we here to be in trouble? Are we about to be killed? Are we about to be destroyed? And he said, no, or actually, do you come in peace? And when he said, yeah, we come in peace, they backed off. But he gathered the sons of Jesse, anointed every one of them. What an amazing dad this is. Anointed all six of those sons, and any one of these are it. And he kept laying his hands on one. Nope, that's not it. Laying on the hands. Nope. And even they looked perfect. And God kept telling Samuel, Samuel, I'm not looking at the outward. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking for passion. And what an amazing dad this was. Brought all six of his sons out and said, there you go. And Samuel said, God, you told me this is the group, but it's not here. You know? But he had one more. What a great dad to forget about him. The youngest, most unlikely, out tending the sheep. He has a slingshot, and he's a musician. You know, the two things you don't want to give a young musician. First off, electric to their instrument. Just saying. And rocks. You're both a dangerous combination, especially in a parking lot, nice cars. So this is what happened. Y'all know the story. He anointed David king. God, I said, God, what am I doing? We just went to Morelia, Mexico. And I went there, and I went there with a mission to really drive home a passion in young people to be what God's called you to be now. When I went there and I realized every church we went into is like, you may not know this, but Heritage built this. I mean, they gave the money. No, they actually sent contractors, poured the concrete, built this. 17 different churches I went to, every one of them built by Heritage. I'm not bragging to Heritage. I just fell in love with the church all over again. Going, yes. Went to an orphanage. Saw these kids from nursery. They don't kick them out at 18. They stay there till they're married. Educating them and raising them. I'm like, oh, yeah, and your church helped build this. They poured the foundation. They did this. I went, really? Because I love those people. And I just fell in love with the church. But listen to me. If you're in here, God sent me on a prophetic journey to gather the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, to gather you together, the sons of Jehovah. And God is not interested in anointing a group. He's looking for one. But different than back then, when it was just one king, we're in Pentecost. He's looking for one, and one, and one, and one, and one that will say, are you the anointed ones? Are you the ones? John the Baptist said it when he went and he was in prison. He said he sent his servants to Jesus and he said this, and this is what the world is saying to the church today. It is saying the same thing that John the Baptist said to Jesus, said, go to Jesus and say to him this, are you the one? Or do we keep looking? And generation after generation has come to the church saying, are you the one? Are you the answer I've been looking for? Some have found it, but most kept looking. But God in this last day is gathering a generation. He is looking in with expectation, and he's reaching his hand into your generations. Like he did when he reached his hand into the fig tree, expecting to find fruit. But now he's reaching his hand into the church, and he's saying, I'm expecting to find fruit. And when he reaches his hand in and he finds you and he'll grasp you, he'll take a hold of you. Let me tell you something. God is an amazing God, and he wants to do amazing things. But he wants to know, how far are you willing to take this? For the family. I'm not here to grow a church. I'm here to grow the family. Now, young people, hear me and hear me good. He is not this big angry God in heaven. He is your father, and he loves you. But let me give you a little fatherly instructions. And I don't care if you're 80 or 10, hear me clearly. I love my children. They'll never lose ownership with me. They are my, that's my son. I'll always love him. I'll always believe in him. And there'll always be something to me that'll be proud of him. And he has a place in my home. But the moment he chooses to disrespect the house rules, I'll still love him. I'll still have some pride for him. I'll still believe in him. But he ain't living in my home. See, young people, this world that you live in where it's just grace, 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 he's your God. He is not, I always get myself in trouble. God has no lace on his underwear. I don't know how else to put it. He's not sitting around afraid and going, oh, sweetie, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. He's your father. To say that, to not let you live in your sin, whether it be alcohol, drugs, lying, gluttony, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, saying, he's not a very loving, that's not the God I know. Well, I'm not interested in the God you know. He's not. He's interested in you knowing God. And if you know God, you'll find him in here. The only time Jesus ever answered the devil or the world, anytime he answered their questions, he gave them a question. The only time he didn't give them a question, he answered them and said, it is written. We'd have less fighting and debating in the church than if we started every council and every session where someone says, I have an issue with, it is written. So I'm going to end right now, and I really am going to end here because this is what I feel the Lord put in my heart to do. And I know it's 11:30. I don't know what time you all get done. Yeah. So I want to spend a lot of time being able to pray for it, but I'm going to pray for every young person in this place. And the reason why I'm going to do that is I'm going to take you to one more scripture. I know I'm jumping all over the scripture. I'm giving you what I gave in a three-day youth conference, Follow Your God-Given Passion. I'm giving it to you in about 30. I'm thinking it's 30 minutes, but I have no time management skills. That's why I have a wife. Just being honest. All right. Well, she's cute too. That's the other reason I have. And I would like to introduce you to my better half. But I'm having a bad hair day. Usually this would be it. It's not settling right. My wife, however, she's also the pastor of Heritage, and so we have a big anniversary of Pastor Keith and Gaynell's having a big 50th wedding anniversary. So she couldn't be with me today, and she gives love and prayer to you all. But I do want to say this, as we're about to end here. You can go and get that. If you know anything about my wife in our leadership meetings where we train, this is what we do. I train young people to stand in their place now. And what we're about to pray with everyone in this room, from the elderly to the youngest, is, get this, sons and daughters prophesying, young men having visions, the elderly dreaming again. What fire couldn't fall in that? And so let me just break it down to you like this. If he is truly the same God of yesterday that dreamed of you in your mother's womb, the Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, that struggled with me, honestly, when knowing God being this big, big God. That word, fearful. God, afraid. And then I realized God took me to a picture of me putting a model together when I was a kid. You ever remember those models? You just had a little tiny piece. You had to make that last adjustment. Some of y'all may have Legos. It may be something else you remember doing. Or maybe you're an artist or something. I'm not very good at artists. You're making that last change, and you're like, if my brother runs by here and messes with this, I'll beat the fool out of him. Okay, that's my new spiritual language. And so I would just hold my breath. Shouldn't have touched it, but I just knew I had to make that last change. Holding my breath. God begins to dream over you in your mother's womb. Destiny exploding within you. We didn't come from dirt, as Tracy starts with Tracy Stewart and Jen Painter last night, so anything else I have is their fault. Exploding within you. Dirt, we didn't come from mud. We came from the dust. And as Tracy would tell you, she says, if they put grain into a silo, the dust that comes from that is explosive. If there is a little electricity, a little flame, it with a silo, everything around it would be this massive explosion of potential and destiny because it's electrified fire. And so here we are. God, I have plans for you, says the Lord. Not to destroy you. Oh, I got to make that one last change. I'm afraid. Angels, if you move one feather, I'll send them off here. That's how God made you. That's how he dreamed over you. Now, if a God dreamed with that intensity over you, do you know of anybody who ever had that kind of intensity for something they didn't like? So if God likes you, he must be for you. And if he is for you, then who, what, where can ever be against you? So as we get ready to pray right now, I'm going to pray, and the musicianaries can come. Everyone look at me right now. Everyone in this room, from there's people on the sides and there's people in the back and in the middle. So I know some people had to go and think we got different things going on. It's Memorial Weekend. And let me just tell you, I love, 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 love our country. And thank you to all the men and women that have sacrificed your life, those here and those who have already passed. I am so honored and I'm very proud to be called an American. And I'm not ashamed of it. Okay? And I'm very proud of you, and thank you for protecting my family, giving me a chance. Quite frankly, to put it as my dad, who's a veteran too, after I just got saved, I was boasting in the street and going, Dad, we're not all bad on the streets. We're very patriotic. He goes, yeah, because any other country would have put a bullet in your head for acting the way you all did. Yes, sir. But thank you for allowing me to be a fool for many years of my life. Because without you, I wouldn't be here. And here's the cool part, because of you. I asked the young people I work with, I have anywhere from 20 to 50, and some of them are all of, I have them working in the Lighthouse. The pastors of the Lighthouse, they were in my youth group. That just kind of tells you I'm not as young as I know I look young, you know. And you're like, no way can him and Shane be close to the same age. I know, it's a shocking. He does not carry his age as well as I do. Oh, he shouldn't have been gone and let me have the mic. So, aren't you going to ruin the moment? No, because we're family. But let me just tell you, there's people in this room right now. God's been dealing with your heart through the whole thing. So we're going to start something I do. We do camps for kids. For every two children that come to our camps, I have a teenager that's been raised in leadership that have been assigned to them. All in a week of camp. Imagine the explosion here that's about to take place. I had you go gather people. Let me tell you, because I needed a camp feel. For every two teenagers, I have a college student that's been raised since they were a child. For every two college students, I have an adult in the room. So they do this, adult in the room, because they're like in their 20s. They're like, oh yeah, now we still need an adult in the room. And we rent out, and we just travel because God hasn't given us our own place yet. So we just travel from campground to campground. We're like the children of Israel. We rent out the entire campgrounds. This year we've been, for the last 2 years, we rent out the Church of God campgrounds in Lexington. And we'll bring children, young people of every generation. We'll gather them in. They come from 7 different states. They come as far away as Louisiana, St. Louis. They'll come. It's the most amazing thing. And it happened on accident on my end. It was God's purpose. Me, I just thought, you know, didn't plan on this, but I'll take credit. But it's God. These young people are part of that. And I have these young people that come in, and I asked one last week. Actually, not last week. It was about 6 months ago I asked them. Last week I was in Mexico. I asked them about 6 months ago, and I said, who in here, your life, has changed? And you could stand up and you know who it was that impacted your life. Now, part of my ego was, oh, I know, I reached that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Only one person in that room mentioned my name. At first, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it was that person. I thought it was as many times I met with you in counseling. I thought I might have had something to do with that. I mean, you know, your flesh kind of, you know, just being honest. Takes, and all of a sudden, I started to get happy. As that person said, well, Stephanie touched my life. And I'm here because he invited me, but it's because Stephanie brought her, him. And next thing you know, we went around a room of, sorry, that button on the bottom's going to get me. We went around the room. Went through about 30, 40 people. And I was so happy. They were changing each other's lives. They took ownership. See, I'm on a journey to get generations. I'm tired of youth reach youth, elderly reach elderly, women reach women, and men reach men. Bible says sons and daughters, you qualify. Prophesy. Don't wait till you get old. Young people, quit despising your youth. Some of y'all act more old than the oldest person in this room. You got so many rules you want to follow. You want to talk about rules? Let me just give you a dad lecture right before I have you come up, because there's people in this room right now. God's dealing with your life. You are not going to live in regret. This is what we call a no-regret service at camp. It's the first service we speak, and then usually we start with an altar call. Have you ever been to one of those people that you've heard someone come and give their life to Jesus later on in years, and the first thing out of their mouth is, I wish I'd have done this sooner. We all have those moments, but you don't have to. So right now, get over yourself. That butterfly feeling in your stomach is the Spirit of Santos. It's the Holy Spirit saying, it's your hour, it's your time, it's your moment. Get the fight over with now. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to have you charge this altar, and God's going to change your life. But first, let me just say this. God is not interested in your generation. He's interested in your heart and the one next to you and the one next to them. And he wants your heart. And if all we do is reach our generation, you are so selfish. I'm raising an army of family and an army of young people that will say, I'm tired of blaming the generation before me and saying it's all their fault. And I'm going to own them and reach them and love them. And I'm going to go to the nursing home and give them a hug and pray and bring them to God. I'm just a teenager. No, you are sons and daughters of God. Act like it. And you're going to be at a place where you're going to go, and I am tired of being labeled just a kid. We start every service off going, aren't you tired of being treated like parents? We confuse our children. One minute we're telling them to grow up. Then we're telling them to act their age. Then we're telling them, we want you to tell us your desires. Tell us what you're thinking. We get mad when they don't. And then we get mad when they do tell us what they're thinking. They're confused. Are you tired of being treated like a kid? Then refuse to be one now. Say, I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God. And I have a dad. Hear me. Jesus, the Bible says, had to come through the lineage of David. They didn't recognize the mothers. It was of the men. Joseph, not his natural dad, was the lineage of David. Adopted Jesus, fulfilling the prophetic word that he'd come through the lineage of David. Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only DNA son. His only begotten, his only flesh and blood son. So you could join family. So if you're in here and you felt alone and you felt like you didn't have a dad that loved you, you didn't have all those things in your life, I don't care what age you are, but let me just say this. You're not an orphan. Did you hear me? You're not an orphan. He will not leave you an orphan. He's our Father. And he loves us. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, all heads bowed and eyes closed. There's some people in here, you've gone through some stuff in your life. You have every reason in the world to be angry, bitter, disappointed, and frustrated. Every reason in the world. Paul and Silas had the same reason, thrown in prison. Thrown in the darkest of dungeons for sharing the gospel. They had every reason to be bitter, angry, and quit. The difference between them and Judas, they killed the Judas that was in them that wanted to rise up and make them quit. And they realized, I don't have any good reason to sing, but I'm family. I have a right to sing. I have an obligation to sing. I'm family. And they just began to sing. I don't know what they sang, but it probably sounded maybe even a little bit like, Abba, I belong to you. Abba. Dirty. Dungeon.
still there, Dad.
Every head bowed and eye closed. If you're in this place and you have struggled with an identity with God because you've never seen Him as your Father, you never thought you mattered. Salvation has been survival for you. You're just waiting for Jesus to return. Maybe you're in here and you've been at a place. You're like, Pastor Sean, I can't go anymore. I'm too old. I've lived my life. Quit living in the past. The same God of yesterday that dreamed over you fearfully in your mother's womb is the same God dreaming over you again today. I'm going to begin to count. One. When I get to that third number, I don't want you to look around the room. I'm going to ask you to come. Stand here in the front. Run if you must. Walk if you must. If you can't, then just wave your hands. If you're unable to move, we'll come to you. I need that identity of my Father. Two. This is your opportunity. Say, what are we praying for, Sean? We're praying for salvation. We're praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're praying for the adoption into the family of God. Whatever your need is, I'm saying, God, your Father is here. Three, come. Come on. Don't wait for permission. Come. Come. How dare you sit there with the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart? How dare you sit there with God giving so much? That's it. Out there. Jesus, just look right up here for a moment. Look right up here. I need everyone to look right here for me, okay? Listen, I'm not trying to be disgenerous or unsensitive. We don't need sympathy, right? You had that. You had enough of that. Put their arm around you, hug you, tap you on the shoulder, encourage you. Right, even if you haven't, we'll give you that. But this is something bigger than that. And I'm not saying you don't need that. I'm a dad. That's what I do. I have more people that call me dad than I ever dreamed of. I love it. But let me tell you this. He did it. Now, if you sit here and try and wait till you grow up, I'm going to say one thing to the church. I met with my leadership, young people, and they asked me a challenging question, changed my whole thought of ministry. I said, why is it when your generation, you older people, talk about revival, you talk about it like it's future tense? We're on the edge of something great. Revival's just around the corner. Won't be long. But you never just step into it. It's a fantasy you're not willing to work for. So I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I challenge a young people, anytime you hear it, and you're going to look crazy, and I want all the people in the church to do this too. Anytime you hear someone say, again in your church, revival's about to break out, take a step forward. Take a step forward. And then say this, not me. If it ain't now, I don't want it. Moses said that to God. God said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send my glory, my anointing with you. It's coming. And he said, no, I'm not making another step until I see your glory now. And he showed him his glory. Messed him up. Became a world changer. So right now, look, we're going to say a prayer. Many of y'all, who in this room, any of you here up front, that you've asked Christ in your heart? You've said a prayer and said, Jesus, come into my life. If you haven't, we're going to pray it anyway together. All right? It's never, can never say it too much. Said it all the time. So you ready? Here we go. And we're going to say it with boldness. Look at me now. We're going to say this with boldness. All right? at your home when you need your mom or your dad, I don't think you go, "Dad, sweet mom, dad." It's, "Mom, dad, I need you." You know how to get their attention, both respectfully and disrespectfully, right? You can't disrespect God now that you've already walked up here. So here we go. You ready? I don't care who you are, what your age is. God's got a plan. But you're going to have to change your walk. Okay? Listen, if all we do is pray a prayer and go back to our own life, we reduce the cross to a magic potion of words. Do you really think the Father would have sent his only Son so that you could say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, amen," and that be the highlight of your life? Now, I'm not insulting them, because that's where it starts. The way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the greater Father but through me. So we're going to start a journey today. You are now going to be, and I'm going to anoint you in just a second with oil. I'm going to anoint you to be the sons and daughters. And I'm going to anoint you because this is what you need to be anointed to do. You need to go find your defining moment, which is another person. And I'm going to pray an anoint ministry on your life. And I'm going to anoint you to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? No point sitting around. All right? God's tired of his children, his teenage children, being embarrassed of the family. It's time to get the family reunion shirt and says, "I'm a child of the King." No, I'm not going to go make you buy matching shirts. My kid's like, "No." All right, but we're going to pray. You ready? The prayer is going to sound very similar to prayers you prayed before, but this time it's going to be something different. You got to do what I did. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, remember, I came from gangs. The only way you get out of the gangs I was in was to die. I was the leader. I had to enforce that rule. Now it was my turn. Now look, I'm still here. But I did die. But nevertheless, I live. But not I. Christ in me. The hope of all glory. Do you all get this? And I want to say this one last thing. You need to get this. All of glory is hope. You get how valuable you are.
That's right.
That's what it means.
Right.
Christ in you, all of glory is hope in I. If you would just get that, you're dangerous to the world and to the devil. He'll try and discourage you. I promise you, it is not a get out of depression time. Free card. It's not. You're going to go through some stuff. But your family now. This house, this building, was created for you. And at any time these people get more worried about the prettiness, I'm going to come kick them in the shins. But I don't think I'm going to have to do that. So right now, let's pray. Dear Jesus, repeat after me. Dear Jesus. Oh, now come on, like you're trying to get your dad's attention. Dear Jesus. I ask that you forgive me, not realizing you're my Father. You're my God. I'm your child, and that I need you. I ask that you forgive me for all the wrong. Fill me with your presence. I give you my heart. Say it again with boldness. I give you my heart and my life. You are not just my Savior. You're not just my dad. You're my Lord and Master too. You have it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look at me. Is this oil down here? Do you mind what I'm going to do? If you're not familiar with church, it's okay. I'm not familiar with it either. It's all right. I just change it up so I can stay unfamiliar with it. The Bible says you anoint people with oil. When you're anointed with oil, now listen, this is just a hand. All right? There is no glory in this hand, but there is hope. The hope of glory through me is going to come on your life. But every day you've got to make a choice. Listen to me. Dream big. I've already dreamed. No, dream bigger. But let me tell you something about a dream. You got to work hard to fulfill it. No matter if you're in a sports, no matter what the score says, no matter how many times you have to practice, keep practicing. The difference between a dream and a fantasy is laziness. The government calls it welfare. Well, you want everything with no responsibility, no work. So I'm telling you right now, your life, God is going to set you free. And you're going to do amazing things. You're not just going to be a kid anymore. You're going to be a daughter of the Most High God. And all of heaven is going, yes, 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 yes. Look at me. Still got to get to that finish line. Now, here's the thing that's tough. Now, go back home and think about what I got to make right. You already know what you got to do. Just go do it. Okay? Time's too short to waste. God will restore many, many years, but he's not giving you a new do-over switch. Okay? So he'll restore many years that we've lost, but we don't get to, it's not game of life. We get to turn the dial over and start over. We have less years than we had before. He'll make every one of them so fruitful it'll blow your mind. But you got to get out of the past, and you got to let the old things go. Listen to me now. Old things pass away. All things become new. All things can't become new if you keep holding on to the old things. Let them go. Raise your hands. I break the curse of the past. Yeah, some of them were just stupid choices that led to some really bad things you couldn't get out of. He restoreth your soul. Now I pray destiny on her life. Raise your hand right now. Everyone, you raise your hand. Two things. It's a sign of surrender. Remember when you were a baby? You remember those babies you go by and they always want you to pick them up? Do they do this? Do you really want to be carried away by God? I don't think you're going to get any baby to get picked up like that. You got to be annoying. Dad, 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 hey, dad, 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 dad. To heal the sick, to raise the dead. Open that hand.
Your thoughts define me.
You have.
You're inside.
Make disciples of men.
You're mine.
I anoint you to do the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Reality.
Thank you. you're seven. Now she's a pastor at 12. I messed with some people's head there. Every one of my youth in our program are youth pastors. Why? Because they're trained to pastor in their youth. Makes sense. You won't walk into our children's program and see puppets. Can you imagine seeing that Jesus with a puppet? He just loved and played with them. This is what the kids come in and tell their parents. They come into our children's program. It's like big church, but just for kids. We do the same music, just louder. We do the same service, offering, communion, just louder. And a few more lights because I like a little bling in there. Why? Because I'm tired of young people walking in the main sanctuary feeling like a visitor in their own church. Young people, if you're not up here dancing in the Holy Ghost, some of these elderly people, God's going to heal them when they see you get on fire, and they're going to join you. But I want to dance this place off, but let me just tell you, my knees can't do it anymore. Now, that's my excuse, and I'm believing, but every once in a while, I get going. But you want to know what will set this place on fire if you start dancing? I got in trouble in Houston, Texas, with a pastor because he said that he had people leaving the church because they were so intimidated by the young people dancing before God that they felt shame that they weren't up dancing. Wanted to know what I was going to do about it. He said, so what I want you to do, Sean, I want you to take your young people to the back. Now, this could be why I only lasted 6 months later, but I said, no, why don't you take those people to the back and let the people that are passionate about Jesus up front. It's a now thing. Don't wait till you grow up. If God called you to be a king today. The Bible says when Samuel poured the oil on little young David's head, it said, from that now moment, he was the anointed one. From that now moment, he was the anointed one. Prophesy, dog. Right now. I anoint you. I anoint these hands. Hold them both out. I anoint these hands to do the works of the gospel. Heal the sick. Comfort the lonely. Feed the hungry. Provide clothes that have nothing. I anoint these hands to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I anoint you to do the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I anoint you now. Raise your hands, Dad. This is not a chastising scripture. This is a prophetic encouragement. Quit ye like men and be men. God wants you to know that. What is he saying to you? He's saying, quit acting like a man and be a man. Real men worship. Real men cry. Real men fight. Jesus. Why do we anoint young people to do this? Why? Because, listen, in the old enemy days when they came in and destroyed a tribe of people, they killed all the children, the sons, enslaved the women. So why did they kill all the children? So they couldn't rise up and be another generation to seek revenge for their fathers. So this is what happened. Children played. But when the enemy came up, they picked up a stick and a sword and a stone, and they fought too because they knew their life depended on it. Quit waiting for someone else to do it for you. Your life depends on you picking up your stick, your sling, your stone, your sword. Fight the good fight. Your hands and lay them on your head.
I anoint you to do the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seven leaders of seven gangs we gathered together, and those seven became like my brothers. Of those seven, there's only three still living. Actually, four still living. One of them is serving a life sentence in prison for murder. The other two were murdered. The other one of them actually took his own life. I want you to know, son, it's not a game that we can blow off. It's not going to be easy. That's why God gives us people like youth ministers and pastors and elders. But listen, don't look for the most radical one to be the one you go to for the help. Find the one with the little white hair and maybe a few more wrinkles than you have. They've been through the stuff. They're not going to chastise you unless you need it. Chastise is a big King James word for it. They're not going to get on all you. But they're not going to let you just get away with murder either. So right now, I anoint you. What's your name, son? Josh. Great name. The Bible says in the old days, Moses went in the tent meetings for one of the last times, and he went in there. He said he took Joshua with him. When he came out, it was right before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan and began their new life in the promised land. It said that Moses came out, but Joshua stayed. Because he stayed in the tent of meetings. That's such a cool name. If I ever have a place to train young people, I'm just calling it the tent of meetings. It's a place they went to meet with God. And they met with God. Moses came out to do the next thing. Joshua said, I got to stay a little longer. When he stayed a little longer, the next generation walked into the promised land. Son, you are not a mistake. For these great men and women, I anoint you now to do the works of the gospel, to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel. No, yeah, me, I'm not that guy, y'all. You're going to preach the gospel. You may throw up a few times first, but you will preach the gospel. Don't wait till you're old to do it. Forget about it. hurt him. God always needed a generation that would stand up when other generations couldn't. I anoint you to do the work for the gospel of Jesus Christ right now.
Stephanie earlier, the girl. That's who I saw when I saw you. The spirit of Stephanie is on you. You're a daughter of the Most High God, and your greatest success is that your identity is in telling them, bringing them in, and you get pumped when it happens. The greatest danger is your identity is in those things. Make sure your identity is always in Christ, because this is what happens. Never fails. I run across somebody like you, like Stephanie, like those. I always have talks with them later and battles with them later, going, everybody's on fire now. Everything's going great. And they have no identity no more, because their identity is in what they were doing and not in their God. Okay? I said, well, it's in my God. Yeah. But if he's not using you, are you happy? Are you happy with God? And if you're happy with God, he'll always use you. Right? They just kind of run hand in hand. But if you get so busy being used that you forget to have identity with God, you become like the disciples in the room with Simon the leper when they got offended with the lady who poured the oil on Jesus, and they got mad, and Judas went out and conspired one last time. That was the final straw. But Judas rose up within the disciples, and they were offended that she did that, because they didn't have a relationship with the Father and with Jesus. They had a relationship with the mission. Always our relationship with the Father, not the mission. Okay? Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. Was he insulting the poor? No. He was just saying there's so much more. Right now, I anoint you right now to do the gospel, the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heal the sick, even raise the dead. To go in the uttermost parts of the earth, to share with people who have never heard the gospel, the far corners of the earth, doors will open. Not a prophetic word, it's just obvious. You're up here crying. You have a sensitive heart. Look at me. Look at me now. Don't be afraid to look at me in the eye. I'm just a dad. Okay? You are so amazing. You know your biggest problem is you don't believe. You have to fall in love with your greatest need. The need to be needed. Look at me, sweetie. You're needed. You matter. No mistake. You've heard all this stuff, though. All right? You have to say that stuff. You're a preacher. No, I'm a dad, and I ain't your dad. I will be if you need one. But you got men here that are going to fulfill that role. I'm just being honest with you. You matter. But you despise your youth. You have so many rules. Got to dress a certain way. Got to act a certain way. Can't raise your hand. Can't dance. Can't do this. Can't go to church. Can't be there. So many rules. You're old.
want you to break every one of those rules right now and raise your hands in the air. Just yell out, Jesus, if you can use anything, use me. Raise your hands high and yell that out. Jesus, come on. He's going to loose your tongue. Yell it. Jesus. No, I mean loud. Jesus. If you can use anything. Say it. If you can use anything. Use me. I anoint you to do the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I anoint you as a daughter of the Most High God. Jesus, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ and anoint you to do the works of Jesus. To make disciples of men and women. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Go into all the world.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Sean. Listen, I just felt the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Would everyone stay up here, please, the young people? You just make a line across here. And those of you that have been seated, if you would come back up, just make a line across here, standing next to each other, facing the congregation. I'd like to start over here, and I'd like to ask all you adults to come up here. Let them feel the love of Christ in you. We're proud of them. They've accepted Christ. They need our love. They need our encouragement. So let's just make a line and hug each one as you go by. Will you do that before you leave? I'd appreciate it. Lord bless you.